Cut my music. Cut my music. It's live from the Five Hole. Faxes from UncleDale.com's weekly podcast. I am Sam Fells, your host, former editor and writer of said site, now of Deadspin.com. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Fellsgate. It's another big week here in Chicago. Here in the Windy City, so of course we are in our original Fatal 4-Way formation. Joined by the usual crew, leading off with, he is Dr. Viral. He is the biggest jackass, no talent in the business. And let me tell you, he's all aglow about Brian Pillman Jr.'s debut in NXT tonight. He's Andrew Cieslak.
Boy, oh boy. You know, Sam, to comment on that very quickly.
Please.
Whenever we joke about an AEW wrestler signing with New York.
And we often do.
The joke is that they're going to do exactly what they did to Brian Pillman Jr. They could not have done it better. It's so good.
Central casting.
And then it's like, well, you know, he's not very good at wrestling, but that's not much of a wrestling company. So, maybe he'll be fine. And then you realize he also has no personality.
He's spun Horacle.
He stinks.
He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He is our supervising technician and our technical supervisor. He's Matt McClure.
Hail Satan and Skypoint Richard Roundtree.
Skypoint Richard Roundtree, indeed. I forgot Slack's tags. You can find him on Twitter and Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. You can find Matt on Twitter at Matt_McClure_ and on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. And last but not least, he is the goal line assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park, and he will be debuting a new segment with me that I haven't told him about tonight. He is Fifth Feather John.
When did we lose Richard Roundtree?
Today.
Oh.
That's why I sent you that picture of him in the Bud Billiken parade.
I thought it was just because of the
two foxes with him. Yeah, yes. And him looking badass.
Serious Bud Billikens, actually.
Did Arnie Harris take that picture?
Yeah, absolutely he did. You know he did.
If he didn't, he was there. He was in the vicinity.
If there's a boob, Arnie's there.
Yeah, absolutely. Or any woman eating a hot dog.
Hello.
Hello. You can find John on Twitter and Blue Sky at Fifth Feather.
And you can find Arnie Harris in hell also.
Well, I don't know if liking boobs is a hellbound offense.
How old was Richard Roundtree? He had to be
81.
81. Wow.
They say I am told that it does not crack.
No, it does not.
What, off the top of our heads, do we remember the last thing we saw him in?
Seven.
Okay, well, something from, like, this century?
No, why would I have seen anything?
Yeah, what am I seeing? Richard
Roundtree.
He was
Chef, John. What else do you need?
Hold on. I feel like I saw him in something recently, yeah. But apparently not. I thought
wasn't he in that VFW slasher movie?
No, I don't think so.
Hey, John.
Hey, Andrew.
Why do they call it Round Tree? They should call it Oval Tree. I don't know. Is that something?
Is this anything?
He was in, Sam, the movie that we liked with Eddie Murphy, the one that they did.
Dolomite?
Dolomite, but he was not in Dolomite.
I'm sorry. That was Fred Williamson in VFW. And Fred Williamson also, let's go to the Department of Corrections. No, well, not.
Not that, no. Yeah.
But Fred,
wow.
But,
yeah.
Careful.
Wow.
Yeah, careful, buddy.
But Fred Williamson, from a previous Cretan question, also in the pantheon of great actual athletes that became solid actors.
Yeah, from Dusk Till Dawn, he was great in that.
Him and Fred Dreyer.
He was the fucking hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Department of Corrections.
I've already got us off track, Sam. I'm
well,
sorry.
It's fine. We're better off track than we ever are on it.
This is that bullshit every podcast does where you're like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Right. But that's what we do all the
minutes.
Time.
Yeah, that's true.
This is what people love about us, allegedly.
Right. This is the thing.
Fred Williamson.
I don't know what they like about this.
Fred Williamson, a local guy, too. Gary.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
As a friend of
Michael
mine.
Michael Jackson.
Friend of mine from the OTB used to say, we come here for the camaraderie and the fellowship. And that's what people are here for. And we give it to them.
Yeah, no, he's a DeSable alum, too.
Anymore?
Well, look at
else?
That. This is we're just dropping knowledge on the kids already.
All right, we're gonna start a little differently tonight. Usually, I start by asking John something and he pontificates, but tonight I'm gonna ask Slack something and he's gonna pontificate.
Jesus.
Because Slack has an interesting vision, desire for the Bears.
Desire is a strong word.
He's got an angle.
Inkling?
Yeah. I've got a hypothesis. That's what it is.
We got theory.
So we're gonna clear the floor and let Slack put forth his hypothesis.
Now, again, we are coming up on the NFL trade deadline, and lots of things can change very quickly. We're not going to rule things in. We're not going to rule things out. You know what I'm saying?
I get you.
But based on the way things are trending, doesn't seem like the Vikings are going to be trading anyone away. They've probably got enough wins now where they feel like they can make a run.
Well, Creed Van Kirk said he'd veto any trade also.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting traded.
No.
So that's my point. We talk about Justin Fields. We talk about next year's draft. Let's draft Caleb Williams. Let's draft Drake May. Whatever.
And Jake
let's
May.
Let's not draft Drake
and
May.
And Jake May. Let's draft some nobody, some new college guy that everyone thinks is great and he's going to turn out to probably suck. Why don't the Bears take those first two picks and draft non-quarterbacks? I believe there's a lineman. I know there's a receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, but then you've got his shoosty dad.
You do have a shoosty dad.
Shoosty pappy.
And go ahead and sign Kirk Cousins in the offseason. Or his non-union equivalent. But somebody who knows how to play NFL football as your quarterback.
Who is Kirk Cousins' non-union equivalent?
Steven Spielbergo. I don't know.
Okay.
But my point being, like, we talk about you have to draft a QB who's going to be here for the next 200 years. Can't you just find one who exists already and knows how to do it? Why is that never discussed?
Can I ask a question, Slack?
Go ahead.
Did you miss the Jay Cutler era?
Yes. No, I did. I miss it. I didn't miss it. I do miss it.
You were here, though.
He was highly attentive.
Yeah, it was great. Most of it was pretty enjoyable.
I mean, I thought so. No one else does.
Well, I don't know what the fuck they're smoking. I know what Jay's smoking.
I mean, not to relitigate the past, but I think the issue with the Jay thing was that the Bears didn't know what to do when he got here, and then they just gave him the keys of the kingdom.
They gave him like 8 coordinators. Yeah. I mean, that's not his fault.
And Brandon Marshall.
And they empowered him and they enabled him quite a bit so that he was like one, like the most powerful guy in the organization.
And with Jay Cutler,
yeah,
he's a personality, right? He's a guy you have to deal with, right? He's not a guy you deal with. He's a guy you have to deal with. There's a very strong
distinction.
He's going
to be what he's going to be.
Yeah, he's got thoughts. We'll put it that way.
Kirk will just crank up the boombox to 11 and put on Creed's greatest hits.
Right. And
that's also worth dealing with.
He'll throw the goddamn ball around. Now, yeah, he's going to fuck up. But the Lions did their thing. Jared Goff. Now, again, they're not crowned anything by any means. They're not given this division. They're not going to necessarily win the NFC. But they're certainly in a place where I'd rather be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so looking around at the lay of the land here, Andrew. Let's see what we actually have out here as far as gettable young veterans.
Veterans that you want. Yeah.
I mean, it can always
not a lot.
It can always be Minshew mania.
No, it can't.
That's a backup. Yeah, that's Bajan in 10 years. Yeah.
Right.
Bajan with better hair. Yeah.
Next.
Probably better arm, too, but I digress.
Probably.
All right. I can't, like, who even else?
Well, Kirk. Kirk's available after this year, right?
If he doesn't get extended, right. Okay. Which they could do what about in the next week or two, right? That's possible.
Yeah.
MILF Hunter Zach, you could probably have.
No,
you could certainly have, but you don't want.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's not Kirk Cousins, though.
I'm willing to. So you want Kirk specifically?
No, but I want a guy who's thrown for 4,000 yards, like who can throw you 30 touchdowns. Like Kirk can do that.
Baker, Baker.
Baker Mayfield might be Kirk Cousins, like plan B type thing.
Jameis.
No.
No.
No, he's broken bad. And done. That's and dumb. Derek Carr would Derek have been, Carr's... last year would have been that would have been a guy where you were saying like, well, that right. could be like a Kirk.
We did.
He's bad.
He's bad. Really bad.
Very bad.
You know, and I remember Iggy last, I think that was last week against that everyone was talking about how bad his first half was or whatever. They got right back in the game. I'm not saying like that Derek Carr's good, but I don't know. I feel like every football game we react series to series and make broad sweeping claims mm-hmm. based on what we just saw, which changes constantly. And it's very difficult to judge a guy, whether he's on a hot streak or a cold streak or whatever. I mean, Kirk Cousins, as much as we like to clown on the guy because it's awesome and it's fun, he's been pretty goddamn rules. Good. His counting stats are excellent, and they have been for years. That's undeniable. Now, we don't have Justin Jefferson, but DJ Moore doesn't suck. You draft another lineman to add to the right side that's already looking pretty good when healthy. You get Marvin Harrison Jr. in there. You've already got running backs.
Yeah, I like that. Be pretty nasty. Idea. Yeah,
could be
I like
very nasty.
Anyway, yeah, why waste your time trying to sit through another 4 years of whether this guy is the guy right? or not? Yeah, and go
Sam,
with the
Sam Darnold you can have off of John's Niners.
I think I'm seeing where this list is going.
The rest of the list stinks. Okay, you have to be aggressive with Cousins, probably.
Right.
And it segues nicely into my positive Bears thoughts, Sam. If we're ready to go there, I don't know if you want to keep talking about this quarterback thing.
I will leave it up to the panel.
No, I think
I don't know. I'm like you make a point, but like. It's still fucking Kirk, man.
No, I get it.
There's a ceiling there. And also, my hunch, and I base this
my
on...
Humps.
My humps. Base this nothing more on
my
really
lovely lady hunch.
Is that the if you go through the list of available pass rushers...
Well, we're going to get there.
I don't see a world where you pay Kirk and a pass rusher, or two of them, if that's your wish.
Right, so that's the other part of my my transition to positive Bears thoughts.
Then let's go.
One of my big beliefs, Sam, as I've told you, is when you feel like something could happen that's positive, let yourself enjoy it before it doesn't happen, if that makes
right.
sense.
Right, indeed.
Now, the Bears aren't going anywhere this year, we know that, but they're also not in a position to sell off talented young players. For example, Jalen Johnson is now talking about his contract mm-hmm. That he needs. Or if he doesn't get, it's like, get me the fuck out of here, which is right. his right. And he's correct to say so. If you're the Bears,
he's right. And he should say it.
You're not in a position to be letting young, talented cornerbacks, especially ones who have the best passer rating against of all cornerbacks in the NFL. And he's not old. You don't let that guy go. You pay him.
No.
So my hunch is that they're going to pay him.
I would think so.
I think they're going to pay
him. The tea leaves say they are, too. Yeah.
Yes. The tea leaves say they are. He's hinting that they are. He's hinting there's been progress. I think this is going to happen in the next couple of weeks.
Inshallah.
Not going to be traded. So thank God for that. That makes me happy. Because the thought of trading Jalen Johnson would put me in a dark place. I'll put it that
you
way.
You got to pay somebody.
Correct. And why would you trade a guy who's good now and will be good for the foreseeable
right.
future?
Who else on the roster right now is in line to get seriously paid? Him.
Yeah.
Boy, let me tell you, I'm just clicking through still Pro Football Reference of the 64 available quarterbacking jobs in this league.
You gotta stop that.
And I'm feeling my asshole trying to secede from my body right now.
It's bad. I get it.
It's bad.
It's bad. But again, I think you're in a window where there are some good pieces on this team. Matt Eberflus, for all his flaws, seems
he's not coaching here.
I know, but you can see that when you make some adjustments for the first time ever, that the defense isn't exactly as bad as it's looked all the time. Granted, Brian Hoyer, I get that, right? And I think, you know, Justin Herbert might tear their asshole asunder this coming Sunday, but who knows? My point is, you can see that there's, with competent coaching, an outline. Now, if you launch Fields and you bring in a rookie, you sort of take a step back again. Because as good as any rookie is, it just doesn't happen. You just come in and tear it up.
There are
right
bumps
off the
in the road.
There's bumps in the road. There's learning curves, et cetera, et cetera. And
then
you consider...
then you might fall into the pattern that John has outlined on several occasions, where one side of the ball is ahead of the other side of the ball, and you can never line them up.
Yeah, right. On top of that, with his trade deadline coming up, you've got Washington with their two young edge rushers potentially available. This seems like it would be a really smart thing to get one of them now.
The gun, as it were.
And then lock one of them up as well.
Well, I'd be rather shocked if that happened.
Well, it would make sense to do.
It would. I think it makes all the sense in the world.
They'll pay Chase Young and who's the other guy? They were going to pay
Montez Young. Sweat. Wouldn't they have paid him already?
Oh, you're saying the Commanders are going to pay Chase Young?
You said Washington, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying the Bears should trade for one of them and pay them early. To stay. Yes.
You'd essentially be giving up probably a high pick, second or third.
You've got a couple extras, so
you certainly do. But you'd be giving that up to jump the line.
Yes.
You're saying, look, I don't want to get in a bidding war.
Correct.
However, you don't know that Chase Young's agent is like, no, we want a bidding war. Like, I want to get him to the market so we can drive the price up.
Maybe. I don't know if it's different in football. I don't know if that's a thing.
It might be, but I would still think, the only thing you're getting insurance of is injury.
It's not out of the realm of possibility that this
it would be
could,
more forward thinking than we're used to.
Sure.
That's for sure.
Slack the gunslinging cracker Taylor Heinicke could probably be had, but he's 30 somehow already.
I don't think he's quite.
None of this is making me feel good. I don't think I want to hear any more names.
I don't want to go too far down the tracks of hypothesizing.
No, we just said we're bad when we're on the tracks.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying there's a certain QB with a torn Achilles in New York who may not be in New York for much longer.
We're not doing that.
No.
Exactly, Sam. I said I don't want to take it off the tracks.
Bryce
That's Harper. Ouch.
Taylor Heinicke would have had in not even a full season, in 15 starts, one of the best passing years in Bears history in 2021. 65% completion percentage, 3,400 yards, 20 TDs.
For who?
Taylor Heinicke. Washington. 15 picks.
So riddle me this. Why is he no longer the starting quarterback of the Commanders?
Who knows? Do I look like Killian to you? Come on.
Andrew, you said you had positive Bears thoughts from this Sunday beyond.
Yeah.
Well,
we gotta stop going down this road. I don't like
this
it.
Okay. So we'll talk about when, and obviously he's not healthy now even as he played, but Jenkins and Wright makes a nice little side of the line, does it not? That's a nice thing to have.
It works for me. There's a part of me that still wants to see them try Jenkins a tackle again. This works. Left tackle. I know this works, and you don't mess with something that works. He's obviously a plus at either guard spot.
Yeah, the stats running behind that side were pretty
ridiculous. I get it. Like, you've got this locked in. You've got a plus guard. You don't mess with it. They still haven't solved the left tackle position, which is the more important position. And
Larry Borum just false started or held somebody again.
Well, he's not supposed to be out there. So I don't know. Maybe I'm being greedy and picky and should just be glad that they have a dominant right side of the line for the next few weeks.
Yeah. And Darnell's got a shoulder, which hopefully will heal.
Well, he was out there, you know.
Right. And it's one thing to say, the defense looked okay against Jed Hoyer. It's another thing to say that line took Max Crosby and crumpled him up into a little piece of fucking paper.
Yeah, he was
on one arm
talking to the ref.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking good. Yeah,
okay, Andrew, I do have a legit name here now, and it's John.
Are we still on this?
Oh yeah,
Matt's a dog with a bone. He's not giving up. What do you got?
And John's guy picked him out. Had himself a hell of a year a couple years ago in New York. Mike White, only 28,
Get out of here.
Projectable frame. Projectable frame.
Last time we saw him, he was getting folded in half.
6'5", 220.
Got a rocket for an arm.
You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, you don't know what the hell you're doing. Matt's having his own live from the five hole.
Yeah, I'm doing my own show.
And he's doing his own thing, and the three of us will do the rest.
Holy fuck.
Holy fuck.
Well, listen. Bajent is boring. Everybody agrees. Anyone with a brain agrees. Even if they beat LA, it doesn't change anything.
You know what I'm tired of, Slack?
And go ahead.
I don't have my finger on the pulse of all of Bears fandom, admittedly. But my impression was Sunday.
Bad pulse.
High pressure pulse. My impression was that most everyone was like, hey, that was nice. It's good to have a backup QB who's competent.
Yeah.
And then you
he's a good story nonetheless.
He's
like
a nice story, you know.
He might earn himself some generational wealth holding a clipboard from one or two games.
Flying in from elsewhere, including some of my coworkers, which burns my ass. Ugh. Talk about how Bears fans are all up in arms about a QB controversy. It's like, no, we're not.
I mean, some of the calls to the midday show.
Some people are, though, unfortunately.
There's always a lunatic.
They're OPPs. I would assume.
Yeah. Right. Like, it's never going to be 100%. And there's always the nut jobs. And the nut jobs are usually the ones who pick up the phone to call the score. I know. I was one of them.
Yep.
But I feel like on the whole, everyone was like, you know what? It's just nice to have a backup QB come in here and not automatically lose. Because I've seen enough Bears backup QBs where they come in and you're like, forget it. I'm changing the channel.
Peter yeah. Tom Willis, hello.
Played for the Raiders last week.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember when Chase Daniel was out against the Raiders in London. Like, we all saw that.
Yeah.
And I also feel like that's kind of where Bajent is headed. Because if I recall, and John, you're the archivist, Chase Daniel came in that 2019 year. They beat the Vikings to go 2-1. And everyone's like, okay.
Thanksgiving Day against the Lions also.
That was
the year before.
Yeah.
And then went to London after a start or two. And I was
you
like,
hear
hey,
that, Doug? I'm coming to London.
If we put all 11 defenders within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, there's nothing he can do. And that's what happened. And that's probably what the Chargers are going to do Sunday night. Just like, we dare you to throw the ball 10 yards.
Yeah.
And that'll be that.
While Khalil Mack and one of the racist Bosa brothers are skull fucking you.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, now hold on. The one thing too about the Chargers defense is they are the 30th ranked defense in the NFL. They stink, but they're about to get pretty healthy.
And isn't their coach the defensive guy too?
Yes.
Who was also in the building.
He's also getting fired if the Bears win.
Probably.
Which means the Bears aren't winning.
John, I don't know what it was in the past. And I know that the Bears have only played at SoFi once and it was ugly as shit.
Oh, boy.
But I just feel like that's a building where I'm never going to see the Bears play well. Like, I don't know what it was in the past.
Like the Hawks in Philly.
Like the Hawks
in
Philly.
You know why? Because the Bears are usually bad.
Because usually the Bears, but like, not a division opponent, but like, you know, like the old Meadowlands, I never felt like the Bears played well there except for like the Super Bowl year.
And even then, they barely scraped a bye against the Jets.
But against the Jets, right.
Yeah.
But it was usually the Giants, and usually they're getting hammered by the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's an interesting feeling you have, Sam.
Right.
It's just one of those things where it's hard to envision a win in that building.
Right.
Even though they've only played, yeah, you're right. They've only played
like,
there once, right?
Like the Bears, they never played well at Candlestick. Like I don't remember them ever playing well there. They did win
85. They won in 85 there.
They won a game in Santa Clara, of course. They won the first game in Santa Clara, I believe.
Yeah, Trestman against Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Was that the game Gabe Kareemi left three plays in?
Probably. I think it was the first time Peanut blew out his arm.
Oh, they were down. I think they came back, and it was a game.
Yeah, it was a color game.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a similar feeling, although I also have an odd feeling that maybe this is the Chargers aren't good.
No, they're not. Good.
No, they're not good.
They're really bad, and they're a broken football team too. And I think, you know, going back to Darnell playing with one arm and still holding Crosby at bay, I think the other
XXX.
Yeah, the other thing to that I thought was, you know, I do have to tip the proverbial cap, you know, kiss my ass, Eddie, But you know, I thought Luke put a proper game plan for somebody like Crosby. They were running a lot of sweeps, a lot of motions.
They were running at speed. You run at speed, right. You run away from power.
Right. And I, you know, it worked brilliantly. So I don't see why you would try to do anything differently facing similar defensive ends in talent. You know, Andrew mentioned how bad their defense is as a whole, but I mean, those two guys are disruptors on the line. So, you know, take your pick on which either side you're going to attack, probably the right side, because that's where you're stronger on the line, but then, you know, run similar plays. I mean, I don't understand why you would try to do anything differently.
Right, but we wonder why they do anything differently after Washington and Denver, and then they
right.
showed up against Minnesota.
And then they showed up against Minnesota, and they it was like they had never.
It's like they've forgotten to watch the film.
Right, right. It was they didn't
for
do
10
anything
days.
For 10 days. Yeah, they didn't do anything for 10 days, and they just lined up on Sunday.
Right. Well, we'll figure it out.
Game plan. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm interested to see how Sunday goes. I mean, it's going to be Sunday night. Collinsworth is going to
waiting
be,
all day for it.
Yep,
Collinsworth is going to generate a QB controversy if it kills him.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he
yeah.
is going to love everything Tyson Bajan does.
Right, even if he throws three interceptions.
Yeah,
it's
and
going
the,
to be the
other
right
thing,
decision.
Too, Sam, that I want to get to that you had mentioned, or you alluded to, you know, a big part of why Bajan was so successful was because the Raiders were so bad at tackling.
Yes, they were.
You know, I mean, which I guess to an extent, I mean, we see it across the NFL when we watch other real games, but there are plenty of other teams that run underneath stuff. And then the opposing team is just bad at tackling and guys can rip off 10, 12 yard runs. I mean, somehow Kansas City does it every week.
Right.
Even though you know exactly what they're going to do. And somehow that big white tight end is in single coverage. I still don't understand that. But whatever.
Yeah, let's leave the crazy ass 6'7" white boy who's on TV all the time now alone.
Who never
yeah.
drops a pass.
Yeah, he's right. in right. every commercial.
Yeah,
every commercial to begin with.
With a
was
4 foot five
yeah,
cornerback covering him, or trying to cover him.
Right. It's always some slow linebacker, some tiny safety, and it's like, well, yeah, he's now stupid open.
But that's
that just means they scheme it that way, which means they're smart. You know,
they are smart. We know what Andy Reid is at this point.
I thought Matt Nagy's calling plays.
Oh God!
When they're doing well, he's not.
When they're doing well, he is definitely not calling plays.
But I thought that was one of the bigger differences.
We're foisting imposter syndrome upon Matt Nagy.
I thought that was one of the bigger things on Sunday was just how bad the Raiders were attacking, and even though Bajan everything was underneath and everything was short passing, it looked a whole lot better because you know guys were bouncing off of Dante Foreman or. You know,
some other guy we haven't heard of. Yeah, that we have to have.
No, Darrington Evans. He's an old practice squad guy.
And I will say the one thing I do like about Bajan is that he actually looks for Tyler Scott, who's like a burner.
He's Lex guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He's much better than Wims.
He's better than.
They've got second team offense chemistry.
Yeah, they've got the chemistry. That's right.
I mean, he just looks his direction. I don't think that Justin was ever looking his way. And to me, I mean, he is such a weapon. And he's actually, if you get him the ball now that you've put it on film, teams are going to have to pay attention to him. And he can at least take some onus off of Darnell or DJ. Because he'll have the attention. But for God's sakes, get Velus Jones off my screen.
I'm pretty sure Darnell Mooney is also deceased.
Darnell Mooney might be dead.
Yeah,
but he's still there, and he's okay. He's just not. He's never going to be as good as
he just looks slow. Looks like that injury is just not something. It's going to take a while for him to be completely over.
Yeah, maybe next year he's back to himself, but he's not himself right now at all.
Well, he's probably not going to be here.
Well, that's fine. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I can live with that if he's adequately replaced.
If Andrew's drafting Marvin Harrison Jr.
for them, by Schusty Dad Jr., then I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
He's not Schusty, though.
Marvin's
Pappy, Schusty.
The legendary Marvin.
The legend.
Who's Pappy?
Do we have anything else on the Bears? I don't think I have much to add.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't know. I just think overall,
see,
it's clear. Some... What?
You're doing what we did when you were out of the country, which is you're getting a little high on a Bears victory.
No, I mean, it's just, it seems like they have done some work defensively on their scheme and their game plan and how they approach in game. Everybody looks better.
But there's still no goddamn pressure.
He's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
they only managed to get pressure that one.
They did have one blitz that worked, which I was shocked by. they don't get to the quarterback. That still bothers me. The snap count was more evenly distributed, though, John. I don't know if you noticed.
I did notice. Thank you for mentioning that.
Maybe it's the healthy secondary. I don't know.
Yeah, it might be.
I think it's a heavy dose of Jed Hoyer.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I love Jalen. I want them to sign him, but like his two picks were not like they're kind of thrown right at him. And hey,
correction, water finding its own level.
He's in the right spot. He makes the catch. He takes one back. That's all good. That is
second and third string QBs making the mistake of actually throwing at him too.
Yeah, because no one else does.
No.
So that's fine. I mean,
he had a PI in the game too. So like,
we want Jalen to get paid. We want him to be around. I'd rather have a dominant secondary than saying, oh, we could just replace this guy with guys we've drafted because the guys we've drafted have looked spotty so far. Although Kyler, at least I noticed Kyler next to a guy in a different jersey, which I can't say about Jaquan all season.
Jaquan sure loves getting the crowd hyped up, though.
He does love to get the crowd hyped up.
And Tyreek has the nasty habit of tackling a guy in an opposing uniform before he has the ball.
He does, but, you know.
We'll give him some leeway. He's a rookie.
Yeah, he's a youngster.
That can be balanced.
There might be something there. He's got his bonehead plays. But
I still want to see more of Tyreek. I think there is something there to work with.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with having two or three good corners.
No.
And you got to pay somebody. There's no one else on this team who's, even the quarterback, is not in line for a payday. So, you know, Darnell Mooney's kind of played himself off of one. Now, maybe that's Justin's fault. Maybe it's not. Combination thereof. It's not like, oh, we got to keep the cap space for this guy. No, you really don't. Jalen's the one. So that's fine with me.
All right. There it is.
All right. John, are you ready?
Real quick, I want to mention one thing before you segue. Applications and resumes for the Brock Purdy Sucks Camp are flying in, and there's plenty of room, and I'm just sifting through those applications.
He got out-dueled by Andrews Kirk.
And also couldn't handle any sort of pressure, but hey, he's still a first-ballot Hall of Famer. And,
John, my point to add to this was it didn't happen until after John Lynch and Shanahan got extended contracts. So pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the more defenses in the coming weeks, just throwing everything at them, and let's just see.
Yeah, it's almost funny. Like we mentioned.
No Debo Hurts.
Well, it was almost like it was mentioned on some podcast. I don't know which one. But it was almost like somebody said, who was, I think one of the smarter mimes and minds around.
Handsome, too.
Yeah, that once the coordinators start to get some film on the goober one.
The goober mensch.
That he's not going to be so successful when they realize he can't throw the ball more than 12 yards.
He can't.
And here we are
2 weeks in a row.
Anyways, that's all I had to say about that.
Okay. Well,
that's all I got to say about that.
This will be a weekly thing.
We can come. I'll check back in and I'll let you know
please.
Who else has arrived at the camp and how we're all doing.
Is that replacing football reeducation camp? What is that replacing?
It's the formerly known as the Gordon Beckham Camp.
Gordon Beckham Camp. Yeah, that's what
we bought
the
land. We bought the land,
and it's now Purdy Corner.
Purdy Corner. Yeah.
You bought the land over to Arlington Park.
Mm-hmm. We demoed it. We brought out a Greek priest.
Right. That's why the Bears can't build a new stadium there because John has squatted on it.
We brought out the Greek priest to get away all the curses, and now here we are. Purdy Corner.
Those the priest from Antipaxos?
All right, then. Well, I want to try this. This will be only a thing we do once a year. And I don't know what it only popped into my timeline. It's not exactly timely, but I want to do it now. This is something that John and I do in private every year.
God damn.
But
cover your ears, kids.
We want to bring it. We want to bring it to the kids because it entertains me so. Just stop it, would you? it's Fifth Feather John goes through the new Hockey Hall of Fame class.
Oh no. Who we have? I haven't even looked.
I've got it right here, and I think you're going to throw everyone out.
Okay.
So we're just going to start at the top.
Just say banned or admitted.
Tom Barrasso.
Banned.
Absolutely. He stinks.
Sucks out loud.
You can't take him out of there, unfortunately.
You absolutely can. He won one cup.
Yeah, but he won like 7,000 games.
Yeah, I'm on
only
the fence.
Because let's, no one else can figure out how to hire anyone
in.
Else.
Barrett,
I hate Ken Hitchcock, but even I can't.
What
I can't.
Ken Hitchcock team do you remember other than the Stars one?
The fucking Blues.
And what did they do?
Piss me off.
But they were terrible, but he got them farther than anybody else could have.
Yeah, he got them to a sixth seed.
He made me very mad, Sam.
Didn't the fly,
and he also looked like Martin Short doing Jiminy Glick.
With the Flyer, did they win the conference at all with him?
They went to one. Was that him? The Legion of Doom, one final.
I can't remember now.
Yeah, anyway, one final where they got
keep going down
by
the
Red
list.
Wings.
We'll say banned. We'll say
I'm
banned.
Saying banned.
Fine.
Pierre Lacroix.
Banned.
I think you gotta let. I think you gotta let him in.
Just because of the two Avalanche teams.
Yeah, but he capitalized, like, he turned fucking Mike.
You gotta do it more than once. If you're a coach or a GM, simply winning once with one batch of a team does not make you a Hall of Famer. You gotta be Scotty Bowman. Or you gotta be Bill Belichick, who does it over, like, 15 years.
Yeah, it's the Hall of Fame, right, Sam? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, this is not the Hall of did a good job once.
He was still the GM for 2001.
That's the same team.
Yeah, it was the same group. That's what Sam's point.
It's
yeah.
Good. He poached Ray Bourque.
How nice of him.
Okay, next.
All right, the next one in Henrik Lundqvist. In.
Yeah. Okay. But big asterisk. Is this the time for this conversation?
Corey Crawford has to go in with him.
Yes.
Well, Corey's still like a couple years away.
Corey's like I know you know what the American people know. Corey Crawford's not getting into the fucking.
He's not getting in, but that's fine. We know what he is, and that's what's important.
It's not really fine, but whatever.
If Tom Barrasso's getting in, Sam, then Corey Crawford's going to get in.
He should.
You
right?
Can count your ass on that.
Count your ass.
Now the next two names, I feel like are going to be prime John Hall of Fame rant. Pierre Turgeon.
No. Great in NHLPA 93, but not a Hall of Famer.
Great video game player. Very good player. Whenever I watched Pierre Turgeon on the ice, I didn't think, boy, that's a generational
All I can see is him getting domed by Darius Kasparaitis.
Yeah.
It was Dale scoring. Hunter.
Dale Hunter, that's right.
Yeah, it was Dale Hunter, yeah.
And then the Habs, who have told me they've put all the pregame ceremony crap behind them, are honoring him.
Yeah.
He played 105 games for them.
Season and a half, not even.
Not even. But he's going to go in the Ring of Honor.
They are an annoying fucking group.
They really are.
I think they only let him in because they saw his first name was Pierre and they assumed that he has some sort of lineage to the country. Yeah.
Right. They assume he has to go in. And finally, Mike Vernon.
Oh, come on.
No.
Suck my dick.
Damn. No, and Tom Barrasso and Mike Vernon, if they're making it, you bet your ass Corey Crawford's going to be in there someday.
Corey Crawford better waltz in first ballot.
Yeah. There's no question that Corey Crawford's going to be in the Hall of Fame with Mike Vernon and Tom Barrasso. I mean, Tom Barrasso was a complete – they won despite him, those Pittsburgh teams. It's not like – I mean, he maybe stole one game during that two-year run, and that was game three against the Hawks because they couldn't score.
Right.
But that wasn't anything because of Barrasso was doing.
Do you want to know what Tom Barrasso's career save percentage is?
It's less
889.
895.
Yeah.
Price is Right rules, I win.
He was terrible. And Mike Vernon wasn't any better.
No.
Now, did Vernon win with Detroit?
He won with Calgary.
I know he won with Calgary, but I know he was the goaler when they got swept by New Jersey, but then when they ended up winning the first half one, was he still the starter?
Yeah, he won the Conn Smythe, in fact.
Okay. But yeah, on a legendary team.
Right, on a team with Hall of Famers. Career save percentage, .883.
Sucks.
This is the worst Hall of Fame. This is why I didn't go when I was in Toronto. I was like, why would I want to see this?
Well, they have good memorabilia there, Sam.
I'm sure they do. I went and saw the Maple Leaf Gardens, and I was good.
You don't need to see those faces on the wall of guys who suck.
No, I sure don't.
So, just for
faces on the wall of guys who suck. That's what we're renaming the Hockey Hall of Fame.
For the kids at home, in the car,
I guess, true.
Corey Crawford, career save percentage, .918. Henrik Lundqvist, career save percentage, .918. Best ever season of playing, let's say, of a true number one, getting more than half the starts in the season. Let's see. Yeah, 2012, Hank, 62 games played, .929. Corey Crawford.
Crawford's getting in. He's going to get in. You don't even
Crawford's best season, getting the majority of starts. Well, .926 in 13, playing 30 of 48. The asterisk, but he had a .924 in 15 in both 14-15 and 15-16, playing 57 and 58 games, respectively. The big knock on Crawford
longevity.
488 games played. Hank, .887.
Yeah, if you were to, how many years did Corey end up being the full time star? It was six. If you were to cut the years to be equal, Hank's numbers would jump up because he's got those numbers at the end, the season at the end where he was old and the Rangers were bad. And
but Corey spent an inordinate amount of time in the minors.
Yeah, but we're only that's.
He would have played longer if he didn't get his fucking head caved in every 5 minutes.
Again,
it seems
absolutely.
Like the criteria for goalers making the Hall of Fame is winning two Stanley
is
Cups and so,
winning the cup.
Yes, that's true. I agree with John.
And Crawford's got two Jennings trophies.
He's going to get in. Don't worry.
He's getting in.
Yeah,
but never even. I don't think even. Let's see here.
And everyone's gonna get diaped about it online.
We're gonna
isn't online by the time he gets in.
If there is, you're right.
The highest Corey Crawford ever finished in Vezina is fifth.
Yeah,
which is a fucking travesty.
The year they lost to the Blues, he should wasn't that it wasn't
that
he,
was
like,
16.
Yeah, he was remarkable that season because they weren't very good.
No, that was the year that he was fifth. He was eighth in Vezina voting in the 2013 year, and sixth in Vezina voting in the 2015 year. Again, fucking crimes, left and right.
His rookie year, he was outstanding too.
He was he was on the all rookie team.
Mm-hmm.
In 2011, give him that.
Yeah, he'll make the Hall of Fame. I mean, it might not be first ballot, but he's going to get in. Don't you worry.
I'm not worried.
I think Matt is, but...
Well, because fucking Dino Cicerelli's in the Hall of Fame, so...
Yeah, they let everybody in after a
Dino Cicerelli has 700 goals.
Yeah, none of them counted.
None of them counted.
No, Tom Barrasso's getting in. That's all you got to say.
Tom Barrasso, Mike Vernon.
Yeah.
These people are in.
Did Osgood ever get in?
No.
Oh God! If Crawford gets in before Osgood, though, the diepening,
victory laps must be
the
taken.
Diepening.
The diepening in Detroit.
Does 50 get retired?
No, they're not.
No, they've got all these criteria now. No,
they're gonna do like a. I bet you the Hawks are.
But he wore a weird and enough ass number that no one's actually gonna.
He'll get
wear.
A knight, especially if he gets elected to the Hall of Fame. He'll get like his own knight.
You could retire 50. Nobody needs to wear 50.
Nobody
the
needs
Hawks
to wear
50. Are gonna do the Ring of Honor like the Canadians do. And
I'd rather they do that than have retired numbers at this point.
Yes, I agree.
But Belfour got a knight. His jersey's not retired, but he got like a Belfour knight.
Every night's Belfour night where I'm, as far as I'm concerned.
And I agree with you there, Slack.
Especially if you got a bottle of whiskey on the counter.
And billions of dollars.
And, $1 billion to bribe a cop with. He's a fucking legend.
What a king. What a guy.
Do we have General Hawk's thoughts as they take it in the tailpipe in the third period here?
Are we, do we want to talk about Luke telling us stuff?
I mean, I like Luke telling us stuff.
I mean, I know it's just refreshing. The post-game comments that he had about the breakdown of the goal that was clearly on Bedard. The fact that he could, from memory, without grumbling about the tape or whatever, just actually fucking break it down and tell you specifically, no, we want Seth on his forehand, blah, blah, blah. He, you know, Connor's got to turn his head, all this sort of shit, like... Appreciate this because hockey coaches do not tell you this stuff in the press. Maybe if you get like 4 Crown Royals in them at the hotel bar.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then afterwards they might assault you one way or another.
I don't
Or try
don't,
and bribe a police officer.
I don't follow local coverage anywhere, so I don't know if like other coaches in Luke's generation are this open. Montgomery in Boston tends to be, speaking of 4 Crown Royals.
Not no more.
Not anymore. No, good for him. So I wonder if this is just the new generation thing where it's like, yeah, everyone's got video. Who cares if I say this? Because
it's not, as John likes to say, it's not the Mike Martz route tree.
It's not the Mike Martz route tree. That was my thing.
I took it from you, Sam. I adopted it. I took it and made it my own.
You know what, John? It's ours.
Yes.
It's a
co-parenting situation.
I'm a huge fan of it, and I also tend to feel like he goes out and he says this and he tells you things and no one who's in the room with him has any idea what he's talking about. Like he's willing to talk about X and O's with you, but none of the hockey press is anywhere equipped to talk about X and O's with him.
Well, and also even aside from X's and O's, like given the vote of confidence in the press to Korch, that's clearly him lobbying to Kyle saying do not take this child from me.
Yeah, I'm curious about Korch playing with Seth Jones and Vlasic and Murphy together. That seems like a pretty slow pairing, but you know.
But you kinda, with what you got, if you want to stay somewhat competitive, you kinda need to activate Seth's even strength offense a little bit, and that's not happening with Vlasic. Especially with Hall out. So if you can give, if Murphy is equally as trustworthy in his own end and you can, and you know, you can give him as he has gotten before, and Vlasic seems to have been adept at taking dungeon shifts so far, you might as well have some get up and go with Seth. So again, it's worth a look, especially while they're at home for a handful of games. Where you can get the matchups you want.
I'm sort of really looking forward to when they play some real garbage teams.
I was literally going to say, like, I'm sick of this. Every team is the, you know.
I mean, I don't think the Bruins are going to end up being all that good. But, yeah, they keep, like, it gets worse. Like,
yeah.
Like, all right, you got through Boston and you got through Pittsburgh. Now here are Vegas and Colorado.
Home openers, too, at altitude.
They very well may be the two best teams in the league. And... You know, and then it's Vegas again. Finally, they get Arizona next week. Anyone notice the game on Friday starts at 5?
Weird.
Is that to avoid game one of the World Series?
It's to piss off people in Detroit.
Right. In Vegas? They'll get pissed off. That's just what they do.
So what is that, a 3 o'clock start in Las Vegas?
It's a 3 o'clock local start, unless it's some, like, local holiday or something. It's always a local holiday in Vegas, obviously. But.
Wait, Vegas or they're playing Arizona?
No, Vegas on Friday is at 5 o'clock, Chicago start.
But in
o'clock.
But in Vegas?
In Vegas.
Oh, I thought it was 5 o'clock here against Arizona. I was going to say, we don't want to talk about what Arizona considers holidays. That's a bad conversation.
No, that's bad. That's a bad conversation. No, they go to Arizona on Monday, week from yesterday as we're recording. But they play Vegas on Friday, and it's a 3 o'clock. You know, poor Connor just going to have to sit in the hotel room.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, anyway, John, John Slag, any last Hawks thoughts before we get to the kids?
Yeah, my biggest thought was just what you said. I want to see some garbage teams. I'm sick of this.
Right.
Yeah, tired of them getting mooned every night.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm fully prepared to watch them get mooned most of the time.
Here's the thing, though. Their scoreboard says a mooning transpired. But to watch, like, they are not, even in Colorado.
Right.
They were not, like, getting visibly, like, blown off the screen speed-wise. Again, we talked about this.
They got blown off the screen every other-wise.
Every other-wise,
well,
talent-wise.
The Colorado one was ugly. So, but even tonight... Tonight, before Boston got their three goals, it wasn't that bad.
That
it's just you
even.
Can tell they're outgunned.
Yeah, they just don't have
talent,
especially
and
with Hall out.
Yeah, and it's fine. That's just
it's
like
fine.
That's what it is.
Because like again, there's some speed there. Like, but every winger that has noticeable speed is fucking stone handed. Like, yeah, no, they'd be a good penalty killer,
right?
But,
yeah,
this is why they needed to claim Liam Foudy.
John, I'm Julie Foudy. John, yeah. I'm with you. Our boy Lucas is going to have to flash here soon.
Yes,
for me to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. But he looked great in training camp, Sam, and there were tweets to prove it.
I was writing today about how everyone talking about how great Jack Campbell looked in preseason two. How's that going for the oil?
Magic training camp.
Magic training mm-hmm. camp. Everyone's got one now.
No, I'm looking forward to the day when we can look back and remember the time that Connor Bedard skated on a line with Nick Foligno and Tyler Johnson.
Yeah,
and we can laugh about that.
That's bad.
Because that's bad.
That is bad.
Those are pros right there. God damn it.
Yeah, they're pros. All right.
I mean, I was. They're like, you know, with all the beats, like, well, they're today at practice. They're really working on the power play. It hasn't been good. I'm like, it has Nick Foligno on it.
I'm ready for the next wave. I'm ready for No Nose and Ollie
and Oliver Moore.
Yeah, let's go.
Oliver Miller.
Oliver Miller.
Oliver Miller. The big man.
Get him upstairs and get him in here.
Yeah.
Throwing it down.
I think Frankie No Nose will be here. I wonder if they give Oliver Moore a second spin at Big Ten hockey.
I'm just saying, whenever they're here, I'm ready for that. Well, it doesn't have to be next year. I don't give a shit. But
I'm willing to put up with one season of like, okay, I don't care. They get the brains beaten in, whatever. That, come next year, I'd like some quality hockey to watch.
Well, yep. They got to be in the hunt.
Exactly.
The hunt.
Hey, my issue is how they're going to have to get aggressive with trading because
they've got too many guys.
You also just don't sign cool free agents in this league anymore. It doesn't happen.
They got enough draft capital as
they got sure. enough draft and prospect capital to get someone who's interesting. I don't know who that person
so
is.
So someone right. else needs to
Not
make
my
a
job.
Meso for Camesso.
Mm-hmm. Right. If again, it's Nylander because the Leafs will be hounded out of like signing him.
Yeah, and he's crushing it right now this
yeah.
year so far.
So maybe he's the one who gets to free agency and he's like, nope, this is the guy. We're gonna commit to this. This is the guy we gotta go overboard for. Yeah. I think it is.
But, well, I would.
But we'll do that show when the time comes. Right
Flew
now,
would be Flew would be beside himself.
Why would Flew care?
You know, he thinks that Nylander's going to sign in Calgary.
Yeah, that's his whole. That's been his whole platform for years.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah, he's going to go up to Calgary and lose 45 games a year.
Yeah, free agents love to sign in Calgary.
We'll have this conversation probably six more times until then. But are we all right with overpaying a little bit for bringing the prodigal Christ child home?
Tavo?
Yes.
How
old is he going to be?
No,
why
yes.
not?
He's going to be old.
Tavo, Jesus Christ, you want to feel old right now?
I already do.
He's 36.
Tavo right now is 29.
That's not that bad.
See, that's a free agent, though, that you don't have to give 8 years.
You don't have to give 8 years, but you probably got to give 8 mil, though.
Yeah, you can.
I can give, I give him 8 mil though for 4 or 5 years and feel okay about it.
I think Kyle is going to veer away from bringing in any old names.
I agree.
Because I think he
unless they're like
be...
a perfect fit,
Tavo would be. That's my thing.
I think he's going to steer away from that.
If you're going to do that, you might as well do Nylander. You bringing Tavo in to be your second line winger?
No, that's Nylander territory.
But see,
this is the thing. This is the trap that everyone fell into with Tavo before. Tavo is not an offensive dynamo. Tavo is more of Diet Datsuk than an actual playmaker. Tavo is a possession driver. He doesn't have slacks finish. Even if he is,
I don't want him. We lost him. That's that. Yeah.
No, I think a big trade is probably the more likely.
Is Brandon Saad available
to lose that trade?
Everyone on the Blues is going to be available. You want him? You can have him.
Fuck him, by the way.
The third time.
Anything he ever did is gone. Because he put on that stupid uniform.
Yeah, it hurts to watch.
I won't watch it. I mean, obviously I will when they play them.
Well, then, again, the next thing is poaching Elias.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Fine with that.
They'll be too busy arguing and litigating Quinn Hughes' rank amongst the defensemen.
Four years ago when he should have won the Calder.
Yeah. These are important things.
Adult conversations worth having.
And they could still sign, and off of Vancouver, they could sign my guy Anthony Beauvillier.
Oh, he's now, speaking of 36.
He's only 26.
There's no way. Like he's Oliver Wahlstrom old.
Well, let's see how old the Maven's Oliver Wahlstrom is.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw John and Slack. The Maven was talking up Oliver Wahlstrom the other day.
He was the key to getting the Islanders power play right.
Right. He's the straw that stirs the drink.
Somehow Oliver Wahlstrom.
The Islanders gave up 7 goals tonight.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Oliver Wahlstrom is only 23.
No, he's not. No, that's a lie. That's Jose Abreu's representation.
This is like when you were a Lord Truther like 8 years ago.
Yes, absolutely.
What's the Lord Truther? She's like 30?
She was not 17 when she released her first album.
I agree with that.
No way.
No.
No chance.
I'm on board with that theory.
So.
Also, she's bad at music. I don't understand why she's talking about here.
Nothing after that first album ever really rose to the same level.
Nothing about it it's boring. What are we doing? Whatever. Lord's done. She's old. Moving on.
She's a washed up bitch, according to Slack.
According to Slack.
I didn't say she was a bitch. I'm sure she's very nice.
All right. Let's get to the Cretans.
All right, off the bat, Matt Mangold. How many more games before he can chuck 27 up as another Bowman miss and player evaluation?
Yeesh.
I mean, he's got the Bowman label. That's hard to shake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say you got to give it half a season.
The true Bowman label is that he would have traded him after one season, right?
Right.
Yeah, he would have already been scratched and
He's
sent back to Rockford for more seasoning.
He's playing center for the first time in the NHL. It's got to be more than 6 games. It would be nice if he did a little more to notice, but come on, let's be fair here. If he truly had the Bowman sting, Kyle would have had no problem vaulting his ass out of here.
Right.
So even Kyle feels like, no, there's something we got to find out here.
Yeah, at this point, Kyle's evaluation is still in progress.
Yeah.
Or Kyle has put his rubber stamp on it and is playing it out. It's not all just Stan, is what I'm saying.
But is it a possibility? Yes, it's absolutely a possibility.
Suck is on the table.
Suck is on the table.
Where else are you going to do it?
All right, Michael Rantis, speaking of sucks, not him. This is his question. I'm reading it. Who is the best pro athlete who also sucks? Kirk Cousins is on my list. The aforementioned Slack's Kirk Cousins.
Oh boy, people are gonna really hate this episode.
Man, that's tough. Best athlete who also sucks.
I think obligatory. Me and John have to say. Brad Marchand and Brock Purdy.
What about like Paul George?
Okay.
I don't know. He's just like such a bozo. He's good, but he's just ass. There's a lot of NBA players like James Harden. He's good, but he sucks.
Yeah, he sucks.
He sucks to watch. Like,
yeah, he sucks.
Like Russell Westbrook is good, but also sucks. But like, yes. Russ was entertaining as hell for a couple seasons.
Is Kevin Durant on this list?
No.
Because he's great, but he also kind of sucks.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, he sucks in a lot of ways that these other guys suck.
You know who's great but does suck because he's a fucking cornball? Is Joel Embiid.
That's your thing.
But again, I'm all things anti-Philadelphia. So.
But I get where you're coming from.
It's a great NBA label. It's hard to do. But
this, I mean, this is the thing that Sam and I have done for a decade with hockey, though, is, yeah, he's good, but who gives a shit?
Well, Jaromir Jagr heads the list in hockey.
He's the king.
He's the king of this. I'm trying to think who else in hockey would qualify. There's so many names.
I mean,
most Canucks, honestly. most of the Canucks.
Justin Hébert is getting close. Kind
of starting to rocket up the list there.
Yeah, he might be.
I mean, Cutler would have been on the list.
Oh, hell yeah.
When he played. A lot of Bears on this list.
Even though he's got the two rings, Eli.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, my favorite thing ever was seeing a grown man in an Eli Manning jersey. I just got so sad for that guy. Like, how could a grown-up wear that jersey?
You know, I was thinking of this the other day as I was watching some of the home opener on Saturday night. I feel like I've crossed the age where I can't get anybody's jersey with a name on it now.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
As I pointed out on Twitter, now with Craig Anderson retiring, we're all older than every NHL player now. Yeah, Craig Anderson had you by like 3 days, Sam.
So like the 50-year-olds I see in the stands with their 98 jersey, I'm just like,
that's bad look.
I don't know. Like, my last Liverpool shirt that I bought was a retro shirt on purpose. No name, just like the shirt, the away jersey they wore when I first started being a fan, because it's cool. And like, that's kind of all I'm going to do now. You know, maybe I'll get the new shirt if I like it, but I don't know that I'm putting anyone on the back anymore. It's tough. Anyway, that was another rant for another time. Let's move on.
All right.
Caches.
Dave Melton, what is the most consistently diped up pro sports franchise? Red Wings
franchise or fandom?
I think it's franchise. But I feel like there can be a gray area here. He says Red Wings feel like the chalk, but there's got to be a footy team or two worth mentioning here.
The 49ers are in the list. I don't know that the Red Wings franchise itself is typed up. Their fandom would lead the list.
Well, their coach is bitching about time zones again.
The Canucks are pretty fucking diped from the top down.
Being diped. They have a whole statue about diped.
They have a statue dedicated to being diped.
Yes.
So
it's tough to top that one.
That's tough to beat.
And being diped against the Hawks, no less.
Sadly, the soccer team that's the most diped up is Liverpool.
Hold on. Fans or
no, actual team.
Organization.
Who is?
Jurgen's pretty diped.
Jurgen's usually pretty diped. I love the man. He's my hero.
Of course. I get it.
He's diped up a lot of the
time. Yeah, he gets very diped very quickly.
Fandom not too far behind on it. I mean, I'm proud to be a part of it, but I know what we are. I'm trying to think. Barcelona, they're always pretty diped. And
Barcelona, very diped, yeah.
I mean,
Real Madrid also somewhat diped.
Yeah. Can be.
Fiorentino, that guy's a diped up piece of shit.
John, if we do some introspection here, I think we got to say the Southside Nine, too.
Are they diped?
Well, when Kenny was at the helm, they were definitely diped. But now that he's gone, TBD.
TBD.
To be diped.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, John, we were discussing this before you signed on. When was Ketel Marte a Sox target?
Does
that ring a bell?
Yes, many, many moons ago.
not many moonings ago.
Not many moonings. Well, for the
I believe in 2021, I think. There was Andrew Vaughn for Ketel Marte. That was the proposed deal.
There it is. And who would have wanted that to happen?
Whoops.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sox fans.
No, they didn't want that to happen.
Oh, Andrew. They didn't.
No, no, they love Andrew Vaughn.
Kettle Marte has moved all of, on to
and
the
all of his
World
fucking
Series.
Cross-eyed glory.
Even though the whole team is made of Andrew Vaughns.
Yeah, nope. And Kettle Marte, he had bad splits or something.
Okay, well,
whatever it was.
He's got an NLCS
God
MVP,
forbid.
So
yeah, he will be. Yeah, he will be in the World Series with a record-setting 19 postseason hits or something. Bullshit.
Or was it, well, I forget what Sox fandom. Why they didn't like Kettle Marte because he was maybe it was his contract or something. I don't know what it was.
What was the last ritual killing of a World Series we had?
Like just what a do you mean? Destructive,
just like an absolute was ass it Giants, kicking? Giants, Tigers, Red Sox, Dodgers was five games. That was
Red Sox. Red Sox, Cardinals was a
Red
sweep,
Sox Cardinals. Well, that well, the first one was the second one went to six.
Sox Dodgers was 4-1. Royals Mets was 4-1.
Yeah,
that was a smacking.
That wasn't very good.
The Red Giants, Sox Rangers. Dodgers. You said that was close, Sam. I don't
know. No,
remember
it was five games, but they also had that game three that went like 18 innings.
Well, you're going back to
Yankees Phils.
Phillies Tigers over the Rays. Red Sox over the Rockies.
Yeah, Red Sox Rockies is.
But Giants Tigers is after that because I feel like this Rangers Diamondback this is a sweep all over it.
I don't agree.
No.
No.
Okay.
The D-backs are pesky, Sam.
Yeah, they're really annoying.
They're their White Sox fans' wet dream. Mm-hmm. They're pesky and not very good.
And white.
Mm-hmm. And every single hit, three bases.
Yeah. No matter if it's an actual triple, they'll get the third anyway.
It's like if someone's on base, whether they're on first or whatever, they're scoring. On contact, it's drives me insane.
And I said this in the group chat, but I'll say it now to the public, and it is an indication of the pussification of America that Salvatore Lavulo is going by Tory and not Sal. This is bullshit.
If he was the Phillies manager, he would go by Sal, no question. But
exactly.
He's in Arizona, so nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody notices.
No.
All right, one or two more here.
All right, Johnny Pilot. In honor of Jalen's breakout game, who's your favorite 90s Bear who played in the secondary? Me, personally, I was a Mark Carrier guy. I mean, there's one answer here.
Lemonhead?
Oh, yeah.
There's so many good ones, though. I mean, yeah, Duel was great.
Does Latter-day Sean Gayle count?
I don't think so.
No. I mean, I guess you could. Moe Douglas
was
with his Jerry curl.
Mm-hmm. And his leather thong. Or his leopard thong. Isn't he like a stripper or something?
Yeah.
Was Tony Parrish in the 90s or aughts?
He was.
He was both.
Oh, Pitbull.
Walt Harris?
No, yeah. Walt Harris sucked.
Nice. He had one good year. He had a couple good years.
But he had his own T-shirt. But when he was drafted, which was a big deal back then.
Mark Carrier is a great call.
Mark Carrier was
well because he was
like 10 picks.
He
in a
did,
year or
he did have 10 picks, and he was also cousins with Mark Carrier. of the Bucko Bruce Bucks.
I guess Mike Brown is too late.
Mike Brown's more 2000s.
Uh-huh. He's 2000s.
He was drafted in the 90s, I think.
99, yeah.
Yeah, but that's not Lemuel Stinson era Bears. That's what we're talking about.
No,
I hope Mike Brown is doing well somewhere.
He apparently is. I think he keeps, it seems like he keeps in touch with Lawrence a little bit. So
he's in the neighborhood. I think he's a local guy still.
Really?
Yeah, I think he lives up there.
I mean, if we're doing all-time Bears DB, though, it's peanut unanimously, and it's a very short discussion.
Yeah, but... Entirely different era.
Yeah, entirely different era.
Entirely.
I'm trying to think of anybody else in the 90s. Walt, because it was Donnell and Lemuel were like their corners for the Ditka era. Sean Gayle was the safety. Moe Douglas.
Can I interrupt you really quickly? How many total games do you think Lemuel Stinson played for the Bears?
Oh, it's probably like 28.
Wow. Yeah. It's 69.
Is it really?
Yeah, nice. Five seasons.
Oh, my God.
He retired at 26.
I would have, I didn't realize it.
Well, he started as like a rookie because he had a great rookie season, right?
No, that was
Why
Mark Carrier.
So
Mark
Carrier.
Well, they both did.
Because Lemuel and Ditka went back and forth in the press with Ditka kept calling him out and Lemuel kept picking the ball off. Well, and again, as I've said before, I have to do honorable mention to, and we have to get one white guy mentioned in here, John Mangum. Who was very nice to me and my cousins when we were little kids in Platteville.
That's all that matters.
He let my cousin wear his helmet, freshly sweaty, after the second practice of the day, back when they did two-a-days, because they were tough.
John Mangum, nice long career. Sort of.
Until he got concussed as shit.
Yeah, he played a...
He had the bubble helmet, too, right?
105 games.
Wow.
Yeah, but no,
a lot of special teams.
He was not wearing the bubble helmet when he let my cousin Scotty wear it while he was signing, you know, our little flyer, like pieces of paper that had the roster on it for that day.
Lincoln's name get mentioned here?
Jeremy Lincoln, nice.
Wow.
He started opposite Wolford on the Wanstead playoff team.
Great call. Mm-hmm. There's another.
Sean Gale was still around then, actually.
There's another cornerback I'm forgetting the name of who kind of came up and had a good little run.
RW was not RW.
Yeah.
No, RW.
No. Oh, fuck. I can't. This is going to drive me insane.
Well, anyway, well, let's do one more and we'll get out of here.
All right. Do you want to continue with the sports-a-roo, or do you want something silly?
I think something silly is what goes here.
Tim Jennings. Too new. That guy was good, though, for a while. Remember him?
Yeah, he was too good. Or too new. Yeah.
Too new.
Nathan Vasher, the interceptor. Let's remember some defensive backs.
There's worse ways to spend our time.
That's true.
All right.
Doing this is one of them.
Eric Peterson would like to know, what is the best side dish? And salad doesn't count because we all know you don't win friends with salad.
What's the best
side dish? That's a very difficult question. There's a lot of good side
dishes. Yeah, what is this, a Thanksgiving question that he wants?
Yeah, you can make anything a side dish, too.
I mean, mashed potatoes and gravy is up there.
I'm a big stuffing guy. My dad's stuffing's very good, but I think also green bean casserole, very good.
Red beans and rice.
Yeah.
Wasn't fries a side?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to try and get past fries. I mean, it depends on the fries.
Okay. Well, George is on Damon. Great fries.
Yeah, when I was at
Gale Street, there are many different potato vehicles here.
Yeah. Either I'm going to say red beans and rice or twice baked potato.
Wow.
However, when I was at Gale Street, they had the ribs with jambalaya as the side dish, which was pretty great.
Did you see Fritzy or Knuckles there?
I did not see Fritzy or Knuckles. Only because they're working on the main room, so they only had the side room open. And then, you know, Fritzy and Knuckles aren't going to show up for just side room dining, let's be honest.
Especially on a Thursday.
Right.
I'm trying to think here. I mean, mac and cheese. But again, that can be an entree unto itself.
I mean, I like a baked bean. Big fan.
Whom amongst us, John Kerry?
Whom amongst us would bake a bean? Well, many have tried and succeeded.
A buttermilk biscuit, perhaps. A small corn on the cob. That's a lot of effort, though. That's a toothpick or little floss thing waiting to happen.
I see Sam has taken his this moment to yell at Duck on Twitter about Patrick Kane.
I shouldn't. It was an impulse, and I...
you can't help yourself.
I can't help myself. Jesus Christ. A stupid question.
Why did he bring this up?
Who was asking about this?
No one. He's not replying anybody. The He's Chuggalos. Just saying they should sign Patrick Kane to help Bedard. Like, fuck off. What are you talking about?
A, Kane is clearly waiting to see who's good, which is not the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
It's widely reported the Hawks have no interest and Kane has no interest.
It's the Iser plan. It's going to happen.
Did anyone watch Kane play with the Rangers last year?
Bucci was talking up the Avs during the frozen frenzy.
All the ones in the know are saying the Panthers are the...
Oh yeah. Him in South Florida.
Well, maybe 10
he's
years
36. Old. He's 36.
But again, being 36 though gives you a lot of leeway.
He's doing key bumps alone these days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he could go to Detroit. There's a part of me that would love it.
Right.
Nashville.
No, they stink.
No, he's not going there.
He's not going there.
Two pickets to Pittsburgh.
Also, Detroit would have to prove to be like cup worthy. I mean, he's going to chase a cup. He's not gonna want to play for some team that's gonna scrape a wild card.
Where can his old man run up a tab?
That's the problem with Florida and Colorado is his weirdo old man can't drive there.
Well, so just buy a condo and
right. You'd think that would
and
be
then
the
drive there.
Easy solution.
Get him his own Madden cruiser.
yeah. Might as well go be a senator.
Oh God.
Love your suit.
Love your suit. All
Those
right.
Clowns in Congress. Sure.
Did it clowns. Again. What a bunch of clowns.
We don't. Right. We didn't reach. We did there. I don't think there. It's possible to can reach a consensus on side dish.
No.
John, did you put forth anything?
No, funeral potatoes. There you go.
Ooh, love those.
Those are good stuff.
Those are real good. Emily hasn't made those in a while. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm gonna have.
Well,
to.
Has anyone died? Richard Roundtree.
Yeah. So probably.
Yeah, Richard Roundtree died.
We're old now. People die every day. People we know.
What like, a note! What a note to wrap this up on.
Indeed. Not well, enough. That's how we do things. Anyway, for Slack, for John, for Matt, thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share. We will be back next week with Bears, Chargers thoughts, Hawks, Yotes thoughts, I guess, maybe. And I don't know. Is anything else happening? Did I miss anything?
No, you got it.
All right, cool. Till then, top guys. Out.